Welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis from Boutis Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth-building challenges involved in your financial life.
Welcome back to The Agent of Wealth. This is your host, Mark Boutis. On today's show, I'm joined by a special guest, Dr. Jeff Anzalone. Dr. Jeff Anzalone is a periodontist who teaches a unique prescription for success centered around mindset shifts. Through his platform, debtfreedoctor.com, he empowers clients to elevate their health, maximize their wealth with real estate, and enrich their relationships to give them the life they want. Dr. Anzalone, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yes, same here. I'm excited to speak to you today about holistic wealth and how people can balance their health, relationships, and finances. But before we get into the bulk of the show, let's start off with your story because I find it very important and interesting. Can you begin by sharing the pivotal moment when you realized that being a periodontist wasn't enough to secure your financial future?
Yeah, that was a perfect incident that happened after about, I'd say, 9 or 10 years after I started practicing. Whenever we get into our normal, quote, jobs or careers, we, you know, a lot of times think we're going to do that forever until we're just ready to retire. So my kids were, I think, 6 and 8 at the time. We were snow skiing, and you never think about getting hurt or sick or injured until you get hurt or sick or injured. I had an incident where a kid cut in front of me, and I had to swerve from avoiding him, and I fell. When I fell, I injured my wrist, and that was really the first time. You know, luckily it wasn't anything major, but that was the first time to where I was thinking, well, if I can't use my hands, I'm screwed. Because as a dentist, as a periodontist, we kind of need our hands. It's kind of important, you know. And I realized at that time, money and everything that was coming in was mainly from that source of income. And if that stopped, how would I provide for my family? And that made me rethink my financial situation, which I think is really important for people to really think out if their one, quote, main stream of income is gone, what would they do? Would they be able to continue the lifestyle or provide for their family? So that led me to start looking at what wealthy people, how they operate. And it was kind of amazing because it was almost like I was in this tunnel, had this tunnel vision to where, you know, back then, you know, I've been out for over 20 years. There was no cell phones. The internet was just getting it going back then. So back then, if you wanted a good career, you had to go to school for a long time. You had to be a specialist. You had to be a doctor, a dentist, attorney. But, you know, now it's totally different. So we just thought we were going to, you know, I was going to go to dental school and do this until I was 60 or 70, or because that's what everybody else does. And after 10 years, when that happened, it really made me question everything that I had done before. And what I found out was wealthy people, when you ask them what they do for a living, they don't say I do, or they don't say I am. They don't say I am a dentist, I am a doctor, I'm an accountant. It's I own. I own businesses. I own real estate. I own it. And I couldn't say that, you know, but I did have a practice. But again, the practice didn't operate without me. The other two things that I realized was, number one, over 90% of wealthy people invest in real estate. At that time, I only had my primary home, which that doesn't count. That doesn't bring in cash flow. And then number two, they had multiple income streams coming in, average of 7 to 9. And at that time, I had one. So that was really the pivotal shift to start my journey moving forward.
So how did you shift, right? You had this realization, and take us through how you navigated that. Was it cold turkey? Did you kind of just flip a switch and say, I'm going to start from scratch and try and start acquiring assets or buying and building assets? Or was it a kind of a shift over time or a transition over time that you did?
Yeah, that's a good question. And if you look at most successful people and why they're successful, whether they're athletes or business people or whatever, it usually goes back to having a strong why. And for me, my strong why was providing for my family. I had to do this for them. That is probably the most important thing. If you don't have, kind of like people want to lose weight, unless they have that strong why, they're not going to do it. You know, they may lose 10, 15 pounds and then they put it right back on. Unless they have like, hey, you're going to die. Your health is so bad if you don't lose 100 pounds or whatever. So I think it has to do with that. You know, Gary Keller wrote the book, The One Thing. You know, Simon Sinek has Start With Why. And those two books kind of came together for me. Number one, I had my why. And then number two, I could focus on my one thing. And the one thing was figuring out how to do this, how a full-time practicing periodontist, how can I start investing in real estate? It was a journey. It still is a journey. What I realize now is I could have really shortcut it if I would have just paid people to do it. But I really didn't know that at that time. So I did a lot of stuff free, you know, with YouTube and meeting people. And I thought that for me, I thought I had to go out and buy a rental property. I had to go buy a house or I had to go buy storage units or whatever. And yeah, you could do that. But what happens is that takes away from your time, from your main business, from your, you know, from me for practicing. Luckily, I found out that there was ways to passively invest in real estate. But back then, there really wasn't much information about it, which there is now. So I started a blog, debtfreedoctor.com, and I just started educating people. And it really helped me because as I was learning concepts, you know, like I would learn what is a cap rate or what is an internal rate of return or what is depreciation in real estate, I would learn that and then I would write an article about it. Well, long story short, that blog really took off and it helped me create some other businesses through that as well. But the intent was to educate people in my position about it and realize that there's ways to passively invest to where kind of like if you put your money in a stock market, you can still work your normal job, put money away each month in these passive real estate investments called syndications. But the thing with those is those start to replace your income now. You can use that money now. So if something happened to me, you know, another ski accident or something, I'm slowly replacing my income now versus, you know, your money locked in till you're 59 and a half to your 401k. Now, I'm not anti-401k or anti-stock market. I'm just giving people options. Some people make enough money to where they can do both. That's what I do. But some people can only do one or the other. And depending on what your goals are, you know, I kind of help them sift through it.
How does, like, it's looking back at it, and you mentioned you had a lot of, I guess, call them learning experiences that you then turned into a blog, and I'm sure that was very valuable. But you also mentioned that if someone, or if you were doing again, or if someone was starting now, you would pay people to help. Is that pay people on the learning experience, or you could also talk kind of about some maybe more passively managed syndications? What would your advice be to someone who's starting now, who has a job, has income, but they want to get to acquire those assets?
The older I've gotten, and I'll be 50 this year, the more I realize the most important thing is your time. Now, if you're 20 something years old, you know, you've got plenty of time. So if you just want to take your time, learn it on your own. Again, everything that I pretty much learned, I would say 80%, I learned for free online or, you know, connecting with people online or whatever. But as I learn now, so for instance, let's say I want to learn how to, you know, invest in a certain asset class that I'm not familiar with or whatever. It may take me a year of doing it myself versus paying somebody that's already doing it and already successful. It may take 2 to 4 weeks. So instead of me waiting a year, now I can shortcut it in 2 to 4 weeks and then start doing it now. And then look at what happened with me starting to do it now versus waiting a year. So again, it's just one of the quotes that always hit home with me is people that pay attention. And that's what happens. So if I mean, I can take the same information that I'm teaching for free on YouTube and tell two different people, you know, let's say they want to start, you know, investing. So I do some coaching right now where I help people invest in RV parks. We're doing a lot of RV parks and mobile home parks. Well, I can teach that same information for free over a series of several videos on YouTube, and then I could take that and charge somebody $20,000 to do it. Well, which of those two people, the free route or the paid route, which ones are you think are going to implement and be successful with it? Well, it's usually the people that pay because they pay attention. They value it more.
Right.
And that's what I did. Once I started paying these people, you know, for me, I started paying attention. And I'm like, man, if I don't implement this, you know, I'm paying 10 grand or whatever. If I don't implement this, then that's a waste of money versus, oh yeah, there's just tons of YouTube videos or this or that. Plus, you also get the guidance of having somebody to work with you and keep you accountable. And probably more importantly, not going through all the mistakes or making the mistakes that I would make or that they've made in the past to help shortcut that.
You mentioned initially when you got into it, you thought you had to have a rental property. And then now you just mentioned that a lot of what you're doing now is RV parks, mobile home parks. How has your real estate investing strategy changed over time from beginning to where you are now?
Well, I invested passively in these syndications for 5 to 6 years, learning from other people before I got comfortable enough to now doing it more actively. So I'm more involved. And I still have partners that I work with, but I'm more actively involved. I still do both. And now what's nice is I'm able to teach people if they come in and they just want to invest passively, which is what most people want to do. I can guide them with what to look for and how to find out if a deal is good or not and that sort of thing. Versus if somebody, most of the time people that come to me and they want to own their own property, they're already doing it themselves now. Maybe they have some rentals and they're not really sure about. So like most of the people that we're coaching now, they have, you know, a couple of rent houses or something like that, but they want to learn about how to kind of scale that. Cause it's hard to scale, you know, buying a single family home, you know, and you buy another one. And it may take you a while to get up to 20 of them versus just buying one mobile home park or one RV park. That's a lot different, but you can scale that much quicker. And so I'm able to give them the two different options with that.
Yeah, especially like you mentioned, one of the most important things that we have is our time. And especially if someone is working a job and getting into real estate, it can become difficult, you know, and everyone thinks, oh, every aspect of real estate is passive. And that's often not true, especially if you're buying your own rental properties, managing those own rental properties. And even if you have a property manager involved, you're getting involved in it. So yeah, there is often that. Whether, you know, someone should be actively involved or, you know, kind of what you're talking about, the passive involvement through the syndications. Is most of your syndications local to where you are, or have you kind of expanded in different areas in the country?
All of our syndications are out in the Sun Belt area in the Southeast. We only just have one syndication offering in my town. We actually close on it next week. It's an RV park. But everything else is in the Southeast, whether it's Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee. I'm super excited about, we just got a contract signed. My favorite state is Montana. So we just got one signed. It's right outside the gates of Glacier National Park. And now I'm going to be able to go up there and we'll be able to vacation even more up there. Plus, we have a viable business. So I'm really excited about that and, you know, teaching people about that as well.
So two other parts, you know, we talked about how, you know, this can come into financial freedom. But two of the other parts, I think, of how you approach this is one on relationships, but also on how important health is. Maybe we can start with relationships. How do you suggest someone goes about nurturing, strengthening relationships while also maintaining their financial responsibilities?
Now, are you talking about like personal relationships? Are you talking about business relationships or?
Well, yeah, and maybe we can even take the kind of the question at even a higher level when it comes to health too, mm-hmm. right? When someone is working a job and let's say they want to go into this, like the same strategy you did mm-hmm. of building assets, buying assets, acquiring assets. Well, that's another layer of things that are just going to impact, right? And now there's only a finite amount of time. So whether it's a personal relationship that you now have to figure out, how do I have the time for that personal relationship? But also I'm sure on the business side, relationships are what helps get you there. You can't do everything by yourself. So it's kind of how now are you throwing, mm-hmm. you know, this extra layer of time requirements and how do you maintain that and kind of have that balance between things?
It has gotten easier as my kids have gotten older. So now that they're teenagers, you know, you're not having to babysit them and they're not, you know, here 24/7. So that's helped, number one, versus, you know, people that have three little kids at home, it could be tough. Not saying it's impossible, but it's more difficult. It's easier and your time is freed up more as you get older. So for those of you listening, just don't worry. It gets easier as you get a little bit older. One of the things that I really stood out about wealthy people regarding relationships was something that I'd never heard of, but it makes complete sense. And it's the complete opposite of what people do. Most people enter a relationship. So if somebody you know, and most people have this happen to them before. They look at their phone and somebody's calling them or somebody's texting them or somebody's emailing them, and you immediately go, oh, look at this person contacting me. I wonder what they want. Because most people only contact other people when they want something, that taker mentality. What I really stood out to me when I say wealthy people, I'm talking about 8-9 figure people. I'm not talking about, you know, like just a millionaire. I'm talking about tens of millions of dollars. And I actually have a guy that's a billionaire that's one of my mentors as well. And he was like one of the first ones that I saw this, but I didn't really register until I noticed this. Most of the wealthy people, they enter new relationships with all they're thinking is, how can I help this person? What value can I add this person? But most people enter relationships is how can I get something out of this person? So somebody will say, you know, will email me or call me. Hey, Jeff, can we have time to set up a call? I want to pick your brain about blah, 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 blah. So the people are just wanting to take from me, take. I was the same way. And, you know, still I'm kind of that same way because that's just kind of human nature. But instead, if you approach this, and it doesn't matter if you're super successful and you have a lot of money, you don't, it doesn't matter. There's something that you know, or there's usually something that you could do better than anybody else. And so you think about, instead of entering a relationship going, what's in it for me? In a relationship is, what value can I provide this person? And don't ask for anything in return. And once I started doing that, one, it's a mindset shift when it comes to relationships. But once I started doing that, it really made sense that if you want to build a relationship, you should give first and don't expect anything in return. But 9 times out of 10, you will get something back. But that's not the reason that I do it. So I think using that approach will really help people.
Yeah, I like that mindset shift. Now, on the health side, what role does physical health play in achieving holistic wealth? Are they somehow connected?
100%, because I think it was Seneca. I'm probably going to butcher this quote. Something like, the healthy man or a healthy man wants 1,000 things, but a sick man only wants but one. And you could have $1 billion, but what's the point if you're overweight or you can't enjoy yourself or you can't exercise or you can't go do stuff with your kids or grandkids? And so I would much rather be broke and healthy than super rich and not healthy. A lot of times I'll start with people when I'm coaching them with that aspect, with the health aspect, because they're working all the time. They're burned out. They're not spending any time with their family. And it's like, what are you doing all this for? And they don't have the discipline. Once you get the discipline to get up early in the morning and exercise, eat, you know, make healthy choices, you gotta conquer that first. And once you become disciplined in it and you look back and go, golly, I've lost 20 pounds, eating better, I feel better. Once you start there, then you realize, hey, now I have a mindset where I can take that type of discipline and use it in other areas of my life to benefit those as well.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the importance between the two, and how if you neglect one, it's going to impact the other. All right, Dr. Jeff, that's all the questions I had for you today. I want to thank you for opening up about your journey and for sharing some very important information with my audience. How best can listeners learn more about you and what you do?
Yeah, easiest way is to go to debtfreedoctor.com. I actually have a free passive income guide. People that want to get started, it's right there on the homepage. They click on it. We'll send you a copy. Also have a YouTube channel and Instagram account where I put out a lot of free information on there as well. It's also on the website too, debtfreedoctor.com.
Great. We'll link to all that in the show notes. Thanks again, Dr. Jeff, and thank you to everyone who tuned in today.
You're welcome.
Don't forget to follow the Agent of Wealth on the platform you listen from and leave us a review of the show. We're currently accepting new clients, and if you'd like to schedule a one-on-one consultation with our advisors, please do so at bowdisfinancial.com/call.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Bowdis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial planning and investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investments and financial planning.